the Memorare. Remember, O most gracious Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who fled to your protection, implored your help, or sought your intercession was left unaided. Inspired by this confidence, I fly to you, O Virgin of Virgins, my Mother. To you I come, before you I stand, sinful and sorrowful. O Mother of the Word Incarnate, despise not my petitions, but in your mercy, hear and answer me. Amen.
All across the Gulf South,
it's 7 a.m.
Time to wake up
on Catholic Community Radio.
Good morning. You're listening to Wake Up on this beautiful Wednesday morning. We're so glad to have you with us today. Abby Smith, along with Damian Collado and Johnny Aver. Hey, guys. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good to be with you. Deep in the summer. My gosh.
Well, that's better than being deep in the weeds, I guess.
We were out at the beach this weekend. It's like, it's too hot to go out there. Kind of wait till it gets to the evening. You can't even walk on the sand. We're remembering Bishop St. Apollinaris today, 2nd century. He may have even been taught by Peter himself. Hmm. So that's a mighty saint to call upon this morning. And we are going to invoke him in our prayer in the daily collect this morning, right? Okay, so let's do that. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Direct your faithful Lord in the way of eternal salvation, which the Bishop St. Apollinaris showed by his teaching and by his martyrdom, and grant through his intercession that we may so persevere in keeping your commandments and to merit being crowned with him. We pray this through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God forever and ever. Amen. St. Apollinaris, pray for us. Amen.
Pray for us. Thank you so much, Johnny. Looking forward to your gospel reflection. That'll be in just about 5 minutes. In about 18 minutes, Christine Bordelon joins us. She is the associate editor of the Clarion Herald, and she's going to give us an update of what you're going to find in this week's issue in the Archdiocese of New Orleans. And they just won a very nice award, if you haven't heard this already. So stay tuned. It's going to be a great time with Christine. Dr. David Whitten joins Damian in our Baton Rouge studio in about 35 minutes. He's a professor of theology at Franciscan Missionaries of Our Lady University, and he's going to be joining us shortly. And Teresa Kenny will be with us in 48 minutes, woman's health expert and author of The Happy Girl's Guide to Being Whole. I don't know if you remember that interview, Damian, but we're going to talk about NFP Awareness Week. So continue this discussion and shed light on natural family planning. So it's going to be a great show with great guests and great weather.
It's H-O-T, hot outside, and we're under a heat advisory. Right, Martha? Oh, that's Martha Reeves and the Vandellas from way back, I tell you. And she is right. It is a heat wave underway for South Louisiana and all along the Gulf Coast. How long it's going to last, who knows. Highs are going to be in the mid-90s today. Heat index 105 plus. How's that? Lows in the upper 70s. And if it imagine that, lows in the upper 70s. So even when you try to cool off, you can't. Winds are out of the southwest at 5 to 10, and an afternoon shower here and there to cool things off, but it won't last long because, as I said, we are under a heat advisory. Temperatures in and around the area, everyone already in the 80s, okay? And if you want to know what the high is in the New Orleans area, 83. Baton Rouge, it's 81. Biloxi, 82. So there you go. We're battling the heat and doing our best, right? Jeff, hit it one more time if there's a way we could. No? Okay. No more. Okay. I was jamming up, Martha. In the,
I know. That was great. I love
way,
it.
Way before, do that every day. Way before Gabby's day. But I grew up listening to Martha Reeves and, you know, dancing in the street and everything else.
Remember it well.
Yeah. Okay, folks. Five after the hour, your gospel and gospel reflection coming your way momentarily. It's a Wednesday on Wake Up.
A good Wednesday to you. I'm Father Chris Decker with today's gospel. On that day, Jesus went out of the house and sat down by the sea. Such large crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat down, and the whole crowd stood along the shore. And he spoke to them at length in parables, saying, A sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seed fell on the path, and birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky ground, where it had little soil. It sprang up at once, because the soil was not deep, and when the sun rose it was scorched, and it withered for lack of roots. Some seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it. But some seed fell on rich soil, and produced fruit, 100 or 60 or 30-fold. Whoever has ears ought to hear.
Thank you, Father Chris Decker. Good morning, guys. You know, the imagery here really is profound. You know, we see Jesus leaving the synagogue, leaving Peter's house, sitting down by the sea, and then getting into a boat with a large crowd. And then now he goes to make a sense out of life's biggest questions. God himself has entered the world. So let's take a quick look at that scene and compare it to the ancient beliefs at the time. You know, in the ancient world, we know that many cultures had these gods of chaos, and that many of these gods were associated with the sea, because the sea is, of course, chaotic. It can, with the storms, yeah, waves, uncertainty, even crazy deaths, you know, out there. So these false gods were all, in the ancient world, pretty angry, manipulative, unpredictable. So for example, like the Greek god of chaos, Eris, was quite bloody, in fact, and her symbol was the golden apple of discord. I found that interesting, the golden apple, you know. In contrast, we see that Jesus is the new Adam, Mary, the new Eve, putting things back in order. The Babylonians had this god of chaos, Tiamat, who woke up from her sleep in the sea and went on a rampage. And you compare that to Jesus asleep in the boat in the midst of the storm, and he is the master of chaos. He brings peace, commands the wind. He saves lives. He doesn't destroy lives. The Egyptian god of chaos hated order, hated the light. And of course, Jesus is the light of the world. And so this goes on, you know, and on. And as God, Jesus steps forward over the chaos as the one true God, the Prince of Peace. And so there's no coincidence that Jesus told Peter to walk on the water in the storm. No coincidence that the popes are said to speak from the bark of Peter when teaching, which we call the magisterium. So that brings us to the next image in the parable that Jesus is speaking today, where he talks about life's greatest questions and this imagery of the sower of seeds. And you know, the big question, I don't know about you guys, it comes to a lot of people these days. They say, why doesn't everybody accept the truth of the kingdom of God? Why doesn't everybody accept Jesus as the Christ? It seems obvious to us Christians. Or people will say, why does God pick winners and losers? Why is there evil in the world at all? And they almost tend to look at God as one of these false gods of the ancient world. But here's the thing, the great thing about the parable today. You know, today when we plant seeds, we do a row and we put the seeds in the middle of the row. But back then, you know, they would scatter the seeds wildly all over the place. And this is really Jesus is showing just how generous his Father is with the truth. He's real generous with his offer of eternal life to everybody. And he's flinging invitations everywhere. You know, so you stop and you think about that. You know, the birds that are eating the word of God, the rocky soil and the thorns that scorch and that choke, these are not the fault or the design of the Father, but rather this is where a lot of people have chosen to dwell, and they choose other gods for many reasons. So if you put it in today's terms, we still have a major hearing problem, you know, just like they did then. Now, it seems to be an eternal thing. So many people, for example, as we know, they live in these anti-religious echo chambers and these bubbles, and they're like the seed on a path then. They're very hardened. Many today are shallow because they're confused feelings for facts. And then you have many who are offended by everything, it seems like, you know, angry at everybody. They make their own thorn bushes. They enslave themselves. But this is where the generosity in the parable today and our Father's generosity is profound, because the yield that results the virtue that results from the seeds falling in the good soil means those that are struggling, it helps them, helps our brothers and sisters, helps those that are victims of evil, reaches out to those that are on the rocky ground, and it flows to every human being for the sake of their salvation, saints and sinners alike. You know, that's the order that Jesus brings to the world, this generosity of salvation to all, showering these graces down upon us. And so God wants to continue to do that. And finally, you know, you guys don't think of this, you know, the best place to be with open tongues to receive that seed is, of course, at the Eucharistic table, where that God's generosity just continues to flow into us and helps us, hopefully, we become that source of calm in the chaos of today's culture. Anyway, powerful parable today, right, guys?
Oh, definitely. I'm amazed that everybody is so confused, and as you said, have a hardened heart, that if we would just take a spoonful of humility every day and really humble ourselves, I think love would be able to enter that temple, which is the soil, in my opinion, for the fruits mm-hmm. to prosper.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, I find it, Damien, just fascinating that as we dig more and more into Jesus' parables and into his teachings, he was so far ahead of the curve in terms of psychology. Yeah. He has the answer for everyone dealing with any issue today.
And it's simple,
and so it's
Johnny.
Not just a religious feeling, right?
Yeah.
It's he's in tune with the human heart and the mind.
Mm-hmm. Well, you bet. Yeah. I love this parable because it always gets me thinking, all right, where am I at today? Because mm-hmm. I always wish I could be the one, you know, providing fruits, but there are times when, I mean, I'm the guy, you know, who the birds are picking up the seeds right out of the box, you know? It's like, oh, man, it's one of those days. But you got to swallow your pride, and you got to be able yeah. to look ahead and say, okay, Lord, guide me.
That's mm-hmm. true. Some days you feel like you're on the path, the hard path, and other days you just, and that's where sometimes you feel like you're just not in control of everything.
That's right.
You don't need to be. You know, the Holy Spirit works like that. So, well, hey, you know, we're going to stay with us. We got some great, exciting news coming up with the Clarion Herald. Christine Bordelon's going to join us to give us the great news and a lot more what we're going to get in this week's Clarion Herald. We'll be right back.
This is Franciscan Media's Saint of the Day for July 20th. Today we celebrate Saint Apollinaris. Tradition has it that today's saint was a contemporary of Saint Peter, who sent him to Ravenna, Italy, to serve as its first bishop. It was a position Apollinaris held for 26 years, during a time of unimaginable violence against Christians, especially those who publicly preached the good news. The preaching of Apollinaris won many converts, but earned the fury of his opponents. He was beaten and driven from the city numerous times, temporarily finding refuge, but always returning to resume his work despite the certain dangers. On his fourth and final return to Ravenna, he was captured and savagely beaten. He survived only 7 days. The precise year of his death is uncertain. The details we do have about this first century martyr are few, but they are enough to remind us yet again that following Jesus involves risks. Martyrs like Apollinaris would rather accept the risk of death than deny the cornerstone of their whole life, faith in Jesus Christ. Remembering the witness of past and present martyrs can help us make the often small sacrifices that following Jesus today may require. There's more about the saints, along with inspiration and Catholic resources, at our website, saintoftheday.org. From Franciscan Media, this has been Saint of the Day.
It's 18 past the hour on Wake Up. Good to be with you this morning. Tell your friends, tell your family to tune in. 690 in the New Orleans general area, 1380 in the Baton Rouge general area. And, of course, we have some low-power FMs on the 105 area of your dial, ccradio.live. You know, we are thrilled and excited to have with us the folks from the Clarion Herald. And Well, we got a big announcement today, but I'm not going to steal any thunder. Christine Bordelon, who's the associate editor with the Clear and Herald, is joining us this morning. Good morning, Christine.
Hey, Johnny. How you doing? It's a pleasure to be with you guys today.
Well, we're doing fine, but I can't imagine we're doing as well as you guys are. So I saw the news, about the news. So congratulations, but let us know. What have you guys been awarded with?
Well, I'll tell you, before I even talk about awards, which I don't like to do too much, you know, we just have a really hardworking and talented staff. I mean, you guys know Peter. He's on every week. We just try to, I guess, include diverse stories that reach the heart and the mind of our community. I mean, that's what it's all about. And y'all talked about the fertile soil, the seeds that go in fertile soil. I mean, the Archdiocese of New Orleans has incredibly fertile soil for stories, and because of the people in our Archdiocese who do such wonderful work to spread Catholicism, you know, throughout our area. And so, you know, the awards, I guess it just comes because we work hard and we just report what goes on in our area. And again, it's just so many wonderful things that happen and the wonderful ways that we reach people through all the services through the Archdiocese. So, we won Best Newspaper in the whole United States and the Archdiocese for a non-weekly publication. So that was the big award, I guess, that you guys want to talk about. And again, you know, it goes because of the diverse stories. And over when we heard and saw the comments of the judges, it was because of the different audiences that we reached. We reached the kids, you know, we reached the young adults, we reached, you know, the young parents, young Catholic parents, you know, that we have in our archdiocese and families. You know, we reach the elderly. You know, we just try and reach everybody, and that every week, that's exactly what we try to do. So in addition to just the best newspaper, we also won 11 other awards because of multimedia, something that all of us strive to do so much. And Gabby, you could talk to that. Gabby helped us on the forefront of getting into social media when we started our NOLA Catholic parenting blog, you know, and column in the paper. She really helped us do that. So, you know, we're very excited and very proud of achieving all these awards.
Yeah, you're being quite humble, but you know, it wasn't just the United States, the best non-weekly Catholic newspaper in the United States and Canada. That's pretty cool. And also awards for news and feature writing from multimedia journalism. I mean, this is big stuff. I think you guys are being humble, which is probably why you're so successful. But we do want to tell you that we're proud of you guys. And we love it. It is a great newspaper. The color, the diversity. You're right. The stories are very, very well written. They're real. So keep up the great work. Please, we look forward every week to picking up our copy. That's for sure. So.
Oh, thank you. We appreciate that.
Yeah, so let's talk about some of the stories that you are going to be covering in the July 23rd issue. It's hard to believe, and I can hear kids in the car going to be screaming about this, but we're getting close to school starting.
Yeah, and Peter, I was talking about that just Monday. I mean, it was like, can you believe it's almost the end of July? You know, it's like, where did the summer go? It is insane. But we have two back-to-school issues. Just in case we miss a story the first time, we have a story the second time that can run in another issue. But they always, the Office of Catholic Schools announces all the new leaders of the different schools, the Catholic schools in our area. So, you know, one of the lead stories that we always do is the new principals and presidents for the year. And I think there are about 10 of them at different schools. And we're blessed again, you know, to have such strong leaders in our area that go to school, get their master's, get their doctorate, and become leaders of our school. And the Office of Catholic Schools, as Catholic Faith Formation, they really promote the teachers to become, you know, administrators, to go back to school, get your master's, so you know you can you can become head of a school. And I think a lot of them have taken that opportunity over the years and stepped up to become principal, because it's not an easy job, as you guys know. So that was one of our main stories in back to school.
Awesome. So we understand you guys are you guys also have an article or some features on graduates of from some of the schools. Talk about that. What are we going to find in there about some past distinguished graduates from some of our schools?
Well, Joe Cannizzaro donated a large amount of money to Loyola University so they can enhance their Catholic Studies program. So that was one of the big stories that we had. Because Catholic Studies, it was a minor that you could take at Loyola, but then with this new infusion of money, they're able to do all kinds of stuff. They do retreats, they do trips, and they have an association with universities in Rome where they're going to send students there. So it's really, that's a great thing. And what you're talking about, the graduates, for the past couple of years, this might be the fourth year in a row, different schools can nominate graduates, alumni of their school. And they're recognized by the Archdiocese for their support as adults of their particular high school or grammar school. And so there were 25 different graduates this year who were honored by the Archdiocese.
Hey, I'm curious. So if you're a parent of a child and you're really proud of them and they wouldn't do this, but you just want, and they graduated from a Catholic school and they're doing pretty well in terms of living out the gospel, can parents suggest someone that they know as a possible to be considered as for recognition?
Oh, sure. I mean, anybody who sees someone just doing some outstanding work and just has their heart in the school to make the school the best it can be, you know, they can definitely nominate that person. You know, we have men, we have women at all ages. It's not just someone who's maybe 60 or 70 or 80 who's been around a long time. They have a lot of young people who go back as a lump to their school and really are, you know, rah, rah, rah support, you know, and just drum up the money and everything that they would need to make the school more successful, or even lend their talents. Like, say they're talented in technology. I mean, they might help, you know, start different programs or suggest something that would be helpful to the school to get the word out. So it's a variety of people who are recognized every year.
Okay. I got a couple minutes left, Christine. I wanted to ask you about this, the Archdiocesan schools that are pursuing what's called a system-wide accreditation. What is that going? What is that, and what is that going to demonstrate?
Yeah, they've been wanting to do this for a long time, and you know, all of us, we don't have the biggest staffs in the world. So this year, Raynell Houston worked with the former diocese superintendent Jan Lancaster, and so they've got the schools together, the majority of Catholic schools, both high schools and elementary. And, you know, they're poised to actually make each school, not that they're not the best they can be right now, but just to make them just a place where you can see Catholicism throughout the entire staff, the curriculum, and in everything that they do. And so there are, like, a few characteristics that they try and focus on, you know, and everything has to do with learning. You know, they focus on the engagement of the kids, the engagement of the alumni, the engagement of everyone involved, the teachers, and how can they, you know, be stronger in their faith, stronger in what they do, just to make sure the culture and the curriculum are all learner-focused. And so by being, like, a system-wide accredited archdiocese, you know, archdiocese of schools, that means that every school is infused with, you know, this strive to be better and to be full of the best education and the best Catholic institution, yet focused on their mission. And it's just really, it's pulling together where everybody's on the same page and striving for the same thing, even though at every school, because of the culture of the school itself and the community will be different, it's all striving for the same thing and what that individual school can do.
We've been talking with Christine Bordelon, the associate editor at the Clarion Herald. Christine, we thank you so much. And again, congratulations for being recognized as the best non-weekly Catholic newspaper in the United States and Canada, and also for so many of the other awards you got for multimedia journalism. Keep up the great work. Look forward to it. And please give Peter our regards as well. And to all your staff, our appreciation to them as well. Thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, I appreciate your time. Thanks for having us on every week.
Oh, you bet. You bet. Wow, pretty cool. Pretty cool award, especially in a time when schools are under such scrutiny, as they should be, public schools. But hopefully our Catholic values will endure and carry our kids over the finish line. Hey, well, stay with us, Dr. David Whitten with the Franciscan Missionaries of Our Lady University. He's going to join and talk about how some work being done at local cemeteries is actually a very pro-life act of mercy. Okay, stay with us. We'll talk about that. It is now 7:29 on Wake Up.
Happy Wednesday, everyone. July 20th. So glad you could join us. And welcome back to Wake Up. Damian Collado along with Johnny Hebert and Gabby Smith. And in studio, we have the one and only Dr. David Whitten, professor of theology at Franciscan Missionaries of Our Lady University, better known as FRANU in the Baton Rouge area. So glad to have you again, Doc. Welcome.
Well, always great to be here.
Well, you guys just finished the Franciscan Experience at FRANU, and it's a great program. We've talked to Dr. Holland about it time and time again. But share with us what actually happened for these young people.
Sure. We had a wonderful week last week with 33 young high schoolers who want to dig deeper into their faith, and we gave them an opportunity to do that. And what we do over the course of the week is we try and really give them a Franciscan experience. So we give them a theology lesson every day. We do the daily office with them. We do Eucharistic Adoration, Mass every day. We teach them actually how to do the daily office. But also because we're Franciscan, we have a deep commitment to those who are poor and oppressed. So we also do service for a couple of hours every day to give students an opportunity to work with those who may be a little less privileged than they are. So, for instance, we work at St. Vincent de Paul. They serve while they're there. They do some cleaning while they're there. And then last week as well, we worked at a local cemetery that had kind of fallen to disrepair. And they spent a lot of time trying to take down and clean that place up. But there were weeds taller than me. I felt like I was in a cane field.
Really?
It was.
It really needed help.
It really needed help. In fact, it's the disrepair gotten to the point where there were some bodies that were exposed and
really
some things like that. So that, yeah, it was kind of really tragic to see that this particular cemetery had fallen to such sort of disrepair. But also it was encouraging to see the students really throw themselves into helping clean it up. So they would, do the best they could to clean up the weeds, and then they would clean up some of the burial spots. They even painted a few of them to spruce them up a bit. So it was a neat week for them.
So was it just one day, or it took a couple days?
We do that every day. So we do service. We took the 33 students. We broke them into groups of three, and they rotated through and got to do to be exposed to both Saint Vincent de Paul as well as to the cemetery. So no, every day is service is part of what we do.
Now these are high school juniors and seniors,
right? Rising juniors and seniors.
Who's leading the future leaders?
Right, and that's actually the purpose of the program, is really to grow future leaders for the church.
Okay.
And we're seeing fruits of that, speaking of sort of sowers that you were talking about earlier with today's readings. We're seeing fruits of that with people who've graduated from this program in the past. They're already sort of taking leadership roles at different places. But what's really been interesting for us is to see that we take our own student leaders from FRANU now to be the mentors for these high school students. And so they're leading them, and we're seeing real growth in their own understanding of their ministry and how they can, lead small groups and how they can work with people and help them develop in their faith and how to build relationships and community. So we're seeing those, the real fruits with those young people as well, because they're already going out and working in parishes and doing things as well.
That's neat. And the foundation is the spirituality of Catholicism,
right? Absolutely, right. It's a mixture of kind of faith, theology, and service is the way we frame it. So it's both intellectual, because we want students to understand the faith better, You always say you can't give what you don't have. And so the more we can give them about their faith, the more they'll be able to pass along. But it's also very spiritual because we do the daily office, we do Mass, we do Eucharistic adoration, we do prayer, we do all those parts of spirituality. And then it's also practical in the sense that we do service as well, because that's part of what we're called to do, is to bear those fruits to those who may not have had the opportunity to meet Christ in service.
Do the students have to come from a Catholic school?
No. We've got students who come from, like one of them comes from Baton Rouge High School, mm-hmm. right? So in the magnet program. But he's a young man who wants to learn more about his faith. And, you know, it's in some sense really hard sometimes for young people to be faithful for high schoolers, because they're deluged by all these other push and pulls of things. So, you know, when you see a student like that, it's like, who's going to a non-Catholic high school and really wants to learn more about his faith, that's really encouraging, because hopefully he can be a light to his classmates where he's at.
Yeah. Anybody ever drop out? Got me curious. You know, and what I mean by that is, come Wednesday, middle of the week, it's like, this isn't for me.
We've only had that happen once, and that was actually in one of our first years. And I think what happened in that case, it was a student who was a little overwhelmed by the service component to it. Part of it is because that particular student, I think, had actually been on the other end of the service, had actually been receiving some of the services. Yeah. And so I think that may have been just a little bit too much for him emotionally. But no, not only do we have students who stick it out, but now they come back for a second year, uh-huh. Even knowing what they're getting into.
Well,
so
I'd love to know you touched on how long has the program been underway, and tell us about one or two success stories of leaders in our community.
Sure. So our first year was 2017.
Okay.
We've done it every year since, except for 2020 because of COVID. So one of our success stories is one of our seminarians, Jeremy Chason, who came to our very first Franciscan experience. I remember sitting next to him. He was wearing an Air Force Academy shirt. I'm like, you're thinking about the Air Force Academy? He said, yeah. I said, well, why? He says, it just seems like a good idea. And God got a hold of him there and sort of really changed him. So certainly Jeremy's a great example. We had a young man this past week who's beginning to have conversations with our vocations office about that as well. Another example is there's two young women who about 3 or 4 years ago came in, and they ended up going to Louisiana Tech because they wanted to be engineers.
Okay.
Great program. And they ended up actually being part of the leadership of the pro-life club there at Louisiana Tech. So again, we can see they're taking what they've learned here to other places. And same thing, we see people, young people who end up at LSU being active at Christ the King, leading. I've seen, you know, people doing all sorts of, young people doing all sorts of things. So there's really good hope for the future.
Yeah. And you touched on the cemetery. I'm going to circle back real quick.
Yeah.
The pro-life aspect, while we were during a break, talk about that, the date of the death.
Yeah. So there was a wonderful book called The Fate of Rome by Kyle Harper. He talks about the role of disease in the fall of the Roman Empire, and he has this little nugget in there. They're able actually to trace the role of like the spikes that happen, like we've seen with COVID, uh-huh. With respiratory disease, because Christians were very careful about recording the date of death. And so they would put that on the tombs. But they didn't do it to mark the date of death, but because they thought of death as actually a new birthday, right? The birthday into heaven. And so cemeteries have always been an important part then of the Christian experience, because bodies are good. Christians believe bodies are good. They believe our bodies are going to be resurrected. Mm-hmm. And so in that sense, that the fact that our bodies are going to be resurrected tells us that we should take those cemeteries and care for them as best we can, because those bodies are still good and sacred in important ways. And I was telling you during the break, I've been to clean up after two hurricanes. In both places I've been, people say, could you help us clean up our cemetery? And I've always thought that was such a kind of an odd thing to ask. But as I'm beginning to think more about it, I just realized when we say pro-life, we really do mean from birth to death and even after death. Yeah. And so to take care and respect bodies is something that we should do.
Yeah, respect and almost like holy ground.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. The students were a little uncomfortable sometimes stepping on the graves, but the weeds were so bad. We're like, you're going to have to step on them and just pray for them while you're doing it.
You got to be careful anyway.
Absolutely.
That's
right. Absolutely.
So, well, congratulations on that. And how does one get to learn a little bit more about the Franciscan experience, and where do they sign up? Because it's only an annual program.
It's an annual program, and we'll post information in January, but they can always look at what we've done and see what we've got by going to FranU and looking for the Franciscan experience, just searching there, and they'll find it.
Well, thanks for being with us, as always.
A pleasure,
it's
Damian.
Always a good experience when you show up here on Wake Up.
Oh, well, thank you very much.
Dr. David Whitten, he is professor of theology at FranU in Baton Rouge. Thanks for being with us. Coming up next, Teresa Kenny, women's health expert and author of The Happy Girl's Guide to Being Whole. Okay, she's going to talk about that in the NFP Awareness Week. So don't go too far. You are listening to Wake Up. It is 45 after the hour.
It is 48 past the hour. Thanks so much for tuning in this morning. I'm Gabby Smith, along with Damian Collado and Johnny Hebert. Our next guest is Teresa Kenny. She's a woman's health expert and author of The Happy Girl's Guide to Being Whole. And today she joins us as we continue our discussion on Natural Family Planning Awareness Week. Good morning, Teresa. Thanks for being with us.
Thanks, Gabby. It's good to talk to you again.
Absolutely. So you were with us not too long ago to talk about The Happy Girl's Guide to Being Whole, and that was such a fun interview. But this is also something that I think that we should discuss and shed awareness on. I'm so glad there's an entire week to talk about it. But natural family planning, yesterday we kind of touched base with another guest on the harmful effects of the pill and why natural family planning and learning about your cycle, your natural cycle, is actually becoming more of a trend, which we were really excited to talk about. So kind of shed light, Teresa, on natural family planning, the benefits, and what you're seeing more and more women do as far as getting in touch with that.
Yeah. So I've always been so excited about this week, not only because it's Natural Family Planning Week, but because my birthday actually is July 25th. And so, and that, of course, is the whole reason why we do NFP Week around this week, is because it is commemorating the encyclical Humanae Vitae on July 25th in 1968, which Pope Paul VI wrote. So it's always a special time for me to celebrate my own life and my family's life, but to also remember what I was called to in my vocation, to spread the good news about love and life, about marriage and the gift that God has given us. And you're right. I mean, there's just so much of a trend to really be proclaiming the joy of our natural bodies and the gift of them. And young women are starting to really be engaged in that conversation because of the fact that they are starting to wake up to see that these medical prescriptions, these harmful contraceptives and devices, may be hurting their bodies, their natural bodies.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a great time to open up the conversation, which is why the book, The Happy Girl's Guide to Being Whole, is a perfect opportunity to, you know, lay that into the hands of a young woman and say, hey, let's just start learning about the gift of your body. And one of the things I've always thought, Gabby, and I've been doing work around natural family planning for over 20 years, is that there was this disconnect between understanding the spirituality and sometimes what we call the theology of the body, and also understanding the biology or the natural kind of rhythms of our body, so that we can kind of put those two things together and integrate them into the person so that they can be open to the idea that maybe my body was designed for something good, and how do I work cooperatively with that?
Mm-hmm. Teresa, we keep hearing the word empowering, empower women, and as women, we love hearing that. But I think natural family planning is the ultimate form of empowering women, because you get to know your body and how it works and the uniqueness of it.
It is, empowering, I love the word. I love the word empower, and I also love the word to advocate. Mm-hmm. Because without the ability to advocate for yourself. We cannot make decisions, healthy decisions, happy decisions, you know, true good and moral decisions without being able to advocate for ourselves. And this takes education. You know, we all need education. And that's why I started the Hormone Genius podcast, was to educate women, to inspire them so that they could be empowered to advocate for themselves, you know, in doctor's offices, with their friends out there in the culture, yeah. to engage, you know, in social media, to be able to spread this. And of course, I love the theme this year for NFP Awareness Week, which is call to love it, or is it call to love and joy? You probably have it written down, Gabby. I love this. All I'm focusing on is the word joy. Because joy is something everybody wants. You know, who doesn't want to be joyful? Who doesn't want to have happiness? And this is where it's at, right? We know that people, when they mm-hmm. follow God's law, God's design for what he has called us to, that's what brings true happiness.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, and Teresa, we hear a lot of the times NFP is for married couples, but it's also, I think, for single women as well, to get to know their bodies and then bring that to the forefront. But how can, because we only have about 2 minutes left, how can women maybe start and find out where they can find out more information, maybe meet with a health practitioner who specializes in NFP and get started on this journey?
Yeah, there's so many great resources out there, Gabby, now. I mean, again, we've got many websites you can go to. I love managingyourfertility.com, where someone could just start to learn about all the systems of natural fertility. For young women, we have femhealth.org, where a young woman could start learning about her natural cycle and even learn classes to learn their cycle. And, there are doctors who are trained in this. If you go to the website fertilitycare.org, there are lists of trained physicians who actually understand the natural female body, and they do want to support women, like you said, single women, all women who are having cycles, to be able to learn this beautiful information. And I encourage everyone out there to start, because it's the first step to being empowered.
Absolutely. I think this is a topic that we need to continue to talk about it, make it a norm. It should not be taboo or whatever to talk about this. It's such a normal thing that's been going on since the beginning of time. So, Teresa, thank you so much for being with us. But I do want to say and put a plug in, where can we find your book, The Happy Girl's Guide to Being Whole, and also take a listen to your podcast?
Thank you. Yeah. So the book, The Happy Girl's Guide to Being Whole, What You Never Knew About Your Natural Body, is at lumenpress.org. That's lumenpress.org. And the Hormone Genius podcast, you can find on any podcast listening app or forum at The Hormone Genius, or you can go to our website, www.hormonegenius.com. And, you know, it has great information for all young women.
Yeah, and I was about to say, if we take a listen, what will we find on there? We have about a minute left.
On the podcast, you know, what I really encourage people to do is to go back to our beginning episodes. We started the Hormone Genius 2 years ago, me and a co-host, Jamie Rachi. And we have these foundational episodes, you know, talk about the education of the cycle. Go back to the beginning, episodes 1 through, you know, 15, and learn about your cycle. We've got great interviews with people from all over the country about health issues like PCOS, hypothyroidism, endometriosis. We have stuff about using natural methods, about how, you know, easy and hard it is. There's just a whole array of content.
Oh, so many women, I think, need to be hearing this. Thank you so much, Teresa, for being with us today.
Thanks, Gabby, for having me on. You guys have a blessed day.
You too. Wow. Awesome, guys. What a show full of wonderful information from Christine Bordelon, Dr. David Whitten, and then Teresa Kenny, Johnny, Damien. Awesome show today.
Yeah, it really was. So much to be thankful for and be able to bring you the content today. Let's give God our thanks today as we pray in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Oh God, you are the creator of all things, and you have asked us to not only be stewards of what you have made, but to also be co-creators with you of new life. Before we were formed in the womb, you knew us. You fashioned us in your image, and in our death, you welcome us to new life with you. Grant us the gifts of the Holy Spirit that we may continue to convict the world of the truth, to speak it with charity, and to be agents of peace in the midst of chaos. We pray this through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much for joining us. We'll catch you back here tomorrow at 7 a.m. Central Time. Have a wonderful Wednesday. God bless.
Wake Up is a production of Catholic Community Radio.